Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I know last week we had an awesome service because y'all didn't get to hear me teach. Amen. The Holy Spirit moved and it was awesome. And I tell you, it was really an awesome service last week. Again, I just want to say how people were led for their testimonies and how it took off from there. But a lot of times when we're in these feast and festivals and we're in this and we're still in a feast and festival, we're counting the Omer as we're heading into Shavuot, the Father does these miraculous things. And these testimonies can really build faith in a lot of people's lives for us as we go through these times. And it's really, really exciting to see where the Father has brought people through addictions and has brought them on the other side, that we can walk in freedom, because there's nothing like guys walking in freedom, amen, and having to fight things. So, but as we're going through the Omer, I just wanted to play with something about weeds and wheat and tares. And as we're going through this journey again, we talked about, if you remember, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were set free from slavery. But they were free physically, but they wasn't free in their mind. They still had a slave mentality. So the Father had to work with them through a process to get them before they could take them into the promised land, that we can walk into the promised land as free people. And so we talked about slavery coming out of Egypt, freedom, and it's going to relationship. In other words, what did we say? We talked about He don't just deliver us from something, He's delivering us to something. And that's the key. If you're not being delivered to something, then you're still really in bondage, because you're going to revert back to the things that you're comfortable and you know. That's just the way this is the way we're built. And so we have to renew our mind. Paul kept telling us over and over again through all of the writings in the epistles about renewing our mind through this word. Our soul is being saved. Between our ears is a land, it's a ground, and it's being saved. And so what I want to say is there's a good seed that's been planted in here, and that's His word. But there's some still weeds in the field. And we need to get rid of these weeds if we're not careful. And that's what we want to talk about today, is we are responsible to cultivate our own garden. We are responsible for spiritual roundup, to go in there and kill the weeds in this garden, not to let it grow. Because we call it stinking thinking, we've called it so many things, but that is a battle. And this is where Satan tries to come in and say, you know, and tell us, I know what you've done, I know who you are, da da da, you'll never be any good. That's just, it's the same old bags of tricks. All he does is he just uses different color wrapping paper. Amen. So I wanted us to Deuteronomy 11:11. That's a little bit of a recap, and it said this. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys. Is our life not full of hills and valleys? It is. Even though this is physical, it speaks to us spiritually. Our lives is hills and valleys. And hills and valleys is not a bad thing, as long as Yahweh's in the middle of the valley and He's in the middle of the hill. Amen. And if Yahweh's on the hill and you're in the valley, we got a problem. Amen. Or if He's down in the valley and we're trying to climb a hill, we got a problem. We need to be where He is. And if He's in the wilderness, that's where we need to be, is in the wilderness. Because wherever He's at, that's where we need to be, because we need to be in His presence. So He tells us that this land that you're going to is going to be one which drinks water by rain from heaven. In other words, you're going to have to trust Me, and you're going to have to be a people of faith to believe that, because you're in a dry place, and you're going to have to trust Me that when you plant a seed, I am going to send rain in due season to make it grow, to make you fruitful and multiply. That's what He's telling you. You're not going to be like in the land of Egypt, where it was irrigated by the Nile when it floods once a year. And it said a land, I want you to look at this, a land, and I want to say some natural things, and I want to tie it into the spiritual. Just think that your mind is a landfill. Your mind is the land, okay? It says, but this land that you're going over, verse 12, I'm sorry, a land that Yahweh your Elohim cares for. Do you not think that He brings us into salvation? He doesn't care for us. He understands that we have to remove some old to put in the new. And there's a process and there's a journey in that. And He cares for this land here. not just a heart change, but a whole spirit, soul, and body to be saved. Because he's going to give us a new body, amen? Amen. So he's going to give us a new soul. He's going to renew the whole thing. He's going to bring it all the way back. So it says that here's a land that Yahweh your Elohim cares for. And look what it says. The eyes of Yahweh your Elohim is always upon it. How long is it upon it? From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So guys, and we believe in a cyclical way of thinking. So guess what? He starts with us at the beginning of the year. He works with us and he molds us and he makes us. And guess what? If we're not done yet, we got another year and he starts. And you can just see every year as we're going, we're getting better and better and better. Because what we're doing is we're weeding and we're getting, you know, Arnold, when I wrote these definitions up here about wheat and weed, look what a weed is. A weed is a plant considered undesirable, a plant in the wrong place. Is that really not what a weed is? And I asked Arnold, you know, about, you know, even David, you know, when y'all went and planted your wheat. And I asked Arnold this. I said, so Arnold and David, y'all had wheat. And I wanted to know how many weed seeds that you mixed with the wheat when you went out and you planted. None. But do weeds grow? And you don't even plant them, and they grow. Isn't that amazing? And so this is what this teaching is about, is a weed is a plant considered undesirable, a plant in the wrong place. This is where we have to tend our garden. The Father plants good seed, but because of things of the past and because of the world that we're in, there's weeds everywhere. And they can get in our life spiritually. How do they get in our life? Eye gates. What are you watching on TV? What are we hearing? What are we reading? These are things. Are you putting weeds? Are you out here? I mean, we're reading this word. But once we read this word and we put it down, then we pick up a remote. Are you putting weeds in your wheat field? If you are, who's to blame? That's right. It's the one who, in each one of us. So that's where we want to go with this teaching, that it is a journey, and he's trying to teach us and tell us to put these things aside. So now let's go to Matthew 13. We're going to tackle this. We're just going to have fun. We have a little botany class about the weeds and the tares. All right, I just want to read verse 1, 2, and 3 real quick, just for sake of just reading this, because the first parable that Yeshua starts out with is about a sower. And it says, then that same day Yeshua went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and he sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And it said, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. So in these parables, and we're not going to go over the sower and the seed, we're going to jump down to the wheat and tares. But I just thought it was very interesting that he's going to bring out something that was native to Israel, and that's agriculture. What better way to relate to somebody is understanding what they do. They sow, they have cattle, they have goats, they have sheep. You use agriculture just like the Torah did, and you lay it out so that we can understand what he's saying. Because he really wants to make this plain. Plain as day. He's not trying to give you a parable so that you don't understand what he's saying. The people of that day, because how many times did Yeshua tell them a parable and the Pharisees picked up rocks to stone him? They sort of understood what he's saying. Amen. They wasn't puzzled like, what is he trying to say? No. If I tell you something and you pick up rocks to stone me, I guarantee you got the message. Amen. And that's what these parables were about. Okay, so since he told this story and he went in great detail of the sower and the seed, he just happened to pick back up with the wheat and tares. And so let's go down now to verse 24. It said, he put another parable before them. He said, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now this parable is of utmost great importance to us, because we have a place in this parable. We have a job to do in this parable. A lot of times we want to do somebody else's job, and we have to stay in our lane. How many times have we talked about it is a race? Paul said it's a race. And if you ever know what a track looks like, and a track field and all that, there's 8 lanes. And there's a lane. And why do they have lanes? Because you're supposed to stay in the lane. You know, this don't just throw you out there in a pile, shake you up like jacks and throw you, you know, and bounce a ball, you pick up what you can. That's not what you, there's an order to this. There's order in the scripture, and there's an order to what in our life, where we're supposed to be. Sometimes we get out of order, and that's where chaos happens in our life. So he said, this was compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping. Do you think that the fivefold ministry is asleep at the wheel today? I think so. Back then, it could have been prophets. It could any, you know, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and he sowed weeds among the wheat and he went away. Usually, when do they usually sow? When does the enemy usually come? It's when you're asleep. Now, you can be asleep in the daytime. He's talking about when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Adam, guard and keep. That's what he was always, guard and keep your garden. Guard and keep the garden. We have to guard and keep this garden. Don't be asleep at the wheel. You can't take vacations on Yahweh, okay? It says, so when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and they said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, and this is where we have to hear this, do you want us to go and gather them? And he says, no, lest the gathering of the weeds, you uproot the wheat along with them. So there's one question that we're going to answer later is, whose job is it to gather the weeds? What is our job is wheat. And then he said this, he said, let them both grow together until the harvest. At the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. In other words, gather it into my house. So, I want us to think of some of the things in the natural before we go to the answer of this parable. Wheat. Wheat is a grass widely cultivated for its seed, a cereal grain which is worldwide, is a worldwide staple food. Guys, let me read something. I put down some things. Like I said, we're going to do a little botany class in this because this is just fascinating. Wheat is grown on more land area than any other food crop. The world trade in wheat is greater than all the other crops combined. Now, I want you to know how big wheat is. Wheat is grown, and on all the other crops combined, it's the greatest. Okay, back in when they done this in 2016. But also in 2016, the world production of wheat was 749 million tons. That's a lot of wheat. I can't understand these numbers. I'm going to tell you a number, and you're probably going to look at me cross-eyed. I would too. 749 million tons. I don't know where you'd put all that wheat, but that's a lot of wheat. That's worldwide. But look, listen at this. Making it the second most produced cereal after corn. So corn in just the cereal products is number one, and that's the only thing that it will outweigh it. But corn's not used in bread and all these other things like, well, I know you have cornmeal, but you know what I'm saying about for what wheat produces. So that's how important wheat is. So I'm really thinking, okay, the Father made us. We understand about wheat. He would use wheat in a parable. And he would definitely use the contrast to wheat, which is a weed, showing that this is a plant, which it is a plant, but it's in the wrong place. A weed. We had it right here. It says, anytime that you have a plant that ends up being in a farm field, a garden, or a lawn, or parks, that's what gives it the definition of a weed. It's a place, because I'm sure, I know Arnold had talked about going out there and hoeing and cleaning up some of the areas, and that's what you have to do. So now I want to ask this, and I didn't do this, and I should have. I should have put a nice field up here with weed and all of that, with nice rows with no weeds in it. And then I should have put a contrast with one that was overcome with weeds. because there are gardens and there's fields that I have gone by, and you will see weeds had just totally overtaken it. How come the weeds overtook it? It's because they didn't care for it. They didn't work the field. We have to work this. Guys, we have a job to do. Yahweh has done his job. Yeshua has done his job. It's for us to read, to learn, to grow, to do. We got to work this field. It's up to us to keep the weeds out. If we got to hoe our garden spiritually, we got to put spiritual Roundup, whatever we need to do in our life, it's up to us to keep the weeds out. If we let them grow, they're going to choke out the good. And that's something that I really appreciate about you people in this congregation. You're really, really, really diligent about staying up on the Torah and learning. So many people in life, because they have thrown away two-thirds of the Scripture, they have weeds and they have strongholds in their life. They have vines that's grown all over, and they don't know how to clean it up. They can go to a revival and they can get some feel good and they can make some confessions, but they go right back home, and within 2 months or 3 months, they're bound again because they don't know how to get the weeds out of their life. The Torah teaches you how to get the weeds out of your life and how to keep them out, but there's work to be done. These feasts and festivals teach us how to do this, and you, through your testimonies and through what is happening, you know, it just really gives everybody else strength to be able to get through these times. Okay, now, a tare, which is a weed, I just want to give you this little, this is a Lolium temulentium. Did I say that right? I always look at the doctor because it's temulentium, I guess. Anyway, that's a scientific name for a tare, which is called a darnel. If you ever read some of the older versions of the Scriptures, you'll see when it says weed, it'll see darnel weed or darnel tare in your Scripture. Because darnel is what this tare is. And it says that darnel, it's also considered a poison darnel, a darnel ryegrass, or a cockle. But I thought this was important here. Darnel usually grows in the same production zones as wheat and was a serious weed of cultivation until modern sorting machinery enabled the darnel seeds to be separated efficiently from the seed wheat. So you have machines today, which you didn't back in, you have machines today that can separate them, is what they're saying. And I thought this was interesting. This is just a definition I got out of one of these encyclopedias. The similarity between the two plants, talking about the weed and the darnel, is so great that in some regions the darnel was referred to as false wheat. So you can see that in this parable, that's what he's really trying to tell you. Yes.
I didn't grow up in agriculture, so all this, you know, and getting to see it helps bring it to life when you read it in the Word. And so when we did this wheat, you might have done it when you were young. I haven't done it.
That's right.
And so I didn't know what to look for. And so when it's coming up, there was other parts that were with it that looked like the wheat.
That's right.
It looked, and he said, that's the tares. I said, well, how are we going to know how to separate, what to separate? And he said, well, when the wheat is ready, it's going to bow down.
Yeah. That's right.
It's going to be heavy. And you'll be able to see it. And I thought that was another good spiritual
application. Absolutely. Humility.
Yeah.
We are to be a people that walks in humility. And that's what it will do. It will bow. I do have ryegrass that we plant. We plant it because when we hunt deer and all that, we give them something to eat. If you ever notice the ryegrass, it looks just like, when it heads, it looks almost just like it, but it never bows. It just stays up there because there's no substance to it that... But you're right, it looks just like that. And this is the thing. I mean, we talk about fruit, bearing fruit, and a good tree and a bad tree. You know all of these parables. But the Father is trying to tell us, how are you going to recognize one individual from another individual is by their fruit that they bear? Because when you look at people... Everybody that goes to church is not wheat just because they go to church. You have to have the good seed, which is Yeshua. You have to have what this word says in us to produce But while we're growing, because that's what I'm trying to say here today, when you're a young believer, there's still, we got to get some of the weeds out of our life. Our heart's been regenerated by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? But there is a getting rid of that flesh to allow the Spirit to do what it needs to do. And a lot of you guys, it's got gardens, you'll understand, and it takes work to do it. But you are so right. For those who don't know, and I'm not a farmer, I mean, when I go out there, if you told me to get a bucket and go get something, I'm liable to pull up the wrong thing. Okay, because I don't know. But it's also, and this is why this is important, because this is why community is important, because somebody in this community will know. They will know the right from the wrong. Because as you grow and you mature and you go through the cycles of what we're to do and what we're not to do. Look, the reason why he tells us not to do certain things, because these things are not healthy for us. It will lead us into bondage. It will lead us into sin, because the things that we want to do by the flesh always draws us away from the Spirit. Because what did it say? The carnal mind is what? It's at enmity. It wars against the things of the Spirit. The Father knows that. And that's why he put these parables, wheat and tares. They, just like what she said, they both look alike when they're growing. Now, at the beginning of this parable, a trained eye knew when he walked in that field, just like David was saying. A trained eye, when your master, did you not plan all good? Because there's tares in this field. See, a trained eye recognized that there were tares with the wheat, where the untrained eye, like mine and yours, would have said, man, we're going to have a good harvest. I mean, as long as it's green, it's good. Amen? But everything green ain't God, okay? That's just what he's saying. That's right. So that's why community is important. As we grow and we mature through these cycles, we learn to where we say, you know what? I was in the same place, but I recognize to learn that this is not good for us. And this is where we work with one another. That's how awesome these teachings are. Okay, so now we see that a tare is a false wheat. And like she was saying, it is very, now look guys, when this first starts coming up, it's hard to tell. Because when I looked at a wheat and a ryegrass, and it's a darnel, it was hard to tell when they started to put on their seeds. Until they start really maturing, and then you start to notice the difference.
Wheat has one head.
Yes.
Ryegrass has multiple heads.
See, I didn't know that.
See, so when we're looking at something spiritual, it'll have one head, Yeshua.
That's right. Amen. See that?
It'll have more than one.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's why this is so important. Well, you know, I think there was another thing that you had talked also about the wheat. I don't know if I said this earlier. And he was talking about you can go in and you can plow a field. Remember we talked about you can diss that field up and you can bust that ground up to where there's nothing but dirt. And you say, wow, this is good. This is good. But then you walk off and in about, but he said, he was reminding me, but when you till it deep, the weed seed can lay in that ground for 3 to 4 years before eventually it works itself back up to where it can have the temperature, water, moisture, germination. Here I am. You know, and you'd have thought I fixed that 4 years ago. Does that not fit us in our life? I thought I overcome that 4 years ago. How's this popping back up now? It's because it never was totally dealt with. You had some victories towards it, but it hadn't totally had that victory yet. And that's why we have to learn to work this cycle after cycle, feast after feast, Shabbat after Shabbat. He is cleaning our garden. Amen. And it's going to be him that's going to be able to do this. Say that you got all the weeds by the grace of Elohim. That's right. That all weeds are totally out of your field. Physically, you need a good wind. All you need is wind. That's right. Birds. Birds will eat the weeds, fly over. I ain't going to say it. She said, you can't say what you was going to say. So they deposited. Okay, can I say deposited? No, well, she said that. So y'all, birds can help plant weeds in your field, okay? and you don't want them there, and you're saying how? So what I'm saying is we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, and the enemy is all around, not wanting you to produce good seed. He doesn't want, because we are that we are that fruit. The good seed is Yeshua. He's the one that sows this into us. He wants us to be. But at the same time, you see that the enemy is fast at work depositing weeds in this world, and we see a lot of the activity going on. Okay? So, like, you know, she said, wind can deposit it, birds can deposit it, animals, any kind of animals coming into. What I'm saying is this. It doesn't, you can't give up. You can't give up and say, you know what, I'm tired of fighting weeds. Guys, in Genesis 3, because of the fall, in Genesis 3, I think 18 and 19, it says, Adam, I'm going to bless you with thorns and thistles because of your sin. In other words, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to work the earth, and thorns and thistles are going to come up. So guess what, guys? They are here. They're here. We just got to deal with it. We're in a fallen world. We're just going to have to deal with weeds and tares. Because guess what? He says, let them grow together. Because if you pluck them up, you're going to damage the wheat. Because just like what Mishir said, think about this. In the natural, because this is why he's bringing these things out in the natural, because they meet with us in the spiritual. You may have a wheat that's immature, and you think it's a tare, and you go attack that person. You're going to end up damaging that person because you didn't discern right. So guess what? It isn't our job to be hammering on the tares. We're going to find out in a minute whose job it is to hammer on the tares. You be the best wheat you can be. And when a tare tries to get around you, you just put your hoe down there and you get him away. You just don't let him in your field. And especially you as an individual, you don't let tares in here. Because if tares get in here, then they're gonna cause chaos, and it's going to cause you to want to give up. Guys, I'm going to tell you this. To me, in my life right now, my life is great. Amen? And I hope Tammy's is great. But by his grace, I had to say that. I can't speak for her. But I'm just saying, my life. But like I'm saying it, everybody knows where I'm going with this. And I hope and pray that it doesn't. But you can get slapped, or you can get hit sideways in life that can test your faith. They did that song, Even If. You know, there's a time in life when you just may not be where you need to be spiritually because of bad weed choices or whatever. But the thing about it is even if things don't go in the right direction, he's still king. Amen. He's still ruler. And he's still the healer. I don't care what may come your way, he's still the healer. And the thing about it is he can and he will heal. Amen. And that's where it comes. Because I can promise you this. If Yahweh puts something on you, there's no doctor that can take it off. If Yahweh puts something on you, because I have seen so many times where science had been really good at finding how to defeat something, and then all of a sudden, AIDS came. Where did this come from? Well, how did it come? They come from a monkey. Well, everything come from a monkey. I mean, give the monkeys a break, somebody. You know, say it come from a fish or something. Poor little monkeys take the blame for everything. They take the blame for us and everything. But then all of a sudden when that goes, then you got another something that comes or something else. Or guess what happens? He says, I'll show you. You think you're so smart. I'll morph it into this where your medicines can't. The thing about it is, guys, sin causes these problems. And when you try to invent medicines, I'm just going somewhere. If you're trying to invent medicine so that you can continue to sin, it ain't going to work. You might as well give up. The thing about it is Yahweh in his word. Now, I want to tell you this. I am thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for an antibiotic when I need it. But what I'm saying is this, is in life as a whole, sin is our biggest problem. And sin is that wheat, that bad wheat I was talking about. All right, so let's go to 36. This is what he says. Then he left the crowds and he went into his house, and his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered them, now this is very important. You got to work with me with this, okay? "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." Who's the Son of Man? Yeshua. He sows the good seed. The field is what? The world. We're planted in this world. We are planted in this world. And the good seed are who? The sons of the kingdom. The ones who's had their life regenerated, who has Yeshua in their life, are sons of the kingdom. And this is why I'm saying this. There are some people, and I'm going to say it this way, and this is just my opinion, so y'all don't have to theologically hit me with nothing, okay? There are some people in life that's not a wheat or a tare. There are people that's being, they hadn't been regenerated yet. They haven't accepted Yeshua yet. They haven't made that decision. There are some people that's made the decision to accept Yeshua, and there's some people just that's going to be just bent on being the devil, okay? You can see the difference between what happens with that. So you don't want to get, I don't want you to leave here saying this is an either or, and you're going to run out here and say, "Well, you're a weed, and that ain't what we're up here trying to do." What I'm up here trying to do is you work on you. You are that wheat. You work on you, and you work on your field. Okay, we work on River of Life's field. This is what we have domain over. I have no domain on these other congregations. They have a shepherd. That's their job. They will answer to him for that. I answer for here. You know, we try to keep the weeds out of this one and not let the weeds come in, okay? So it talks about the good seed are the sons of the weeds are the sons of who? The evil one. They're the sons of the devil. It says this, the enemy who sowed them is who? Ha-Satan is the devil. I mean, it's just as plain. The harvest is when? At the end of the age. And guess who the reapers are? The angels. See, it's not my job to go get my spiritual AK-47 and shoot a weed. It is not my job. It's not wheat's job to destroy the tares. They're going to grow together, and in the end time, what's going to happen is the angels are the reapers. They're going to gather everything. And they're going to gather, and they're going to gather who first? They're going to gather the tares first. So it says, the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. I just thought that was amazing, since I've always been taught that the law has been done away with. So I was really confused. I understood what sin was, but all lawbreakers. Well, if the law's been done away with, if the Torah's been done away with, why does he have it here? Because guess what? It hasn't been done away with. Amen? He has things in that Torah that people will sit there and say, "I just don't see it that way." I hope you can see it that way, because you're arguing with him. You're not arguing with me. If his word talks about the zit, that's just what it says to do. And that's what you have to do, because he's saying this is what it's for, and he tells you what it's for. When he's talking about how we're to eat, you know, we've gone through this many, many times before. But Torahlessness or lawbreakers, it's right here. It says all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. And throw them into the fiery furnace, into a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. Okay, so now we're going to end with Proverbs 6. Halisa does a great teaching in the creation gospels, also with the wicked lamp. And she uses this about the wicked lamp. You guys know Proverbs 6. We're just going to cover this. We're just going to read through the scriptures. because this is a false wheat. Verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points his finger. With perversion or perverted heart devises evil. Continually doing what? Sowing strife or sowing discord. When somebody is in a community, the father works through proper order. Where's Eddie? Eddie, you in the military? Does rank matter? A little bit. You know, does a private go up to anybody above a private and tell him what to do? He can try. Okay, that's the best he can do. Rank matters. In other words, order matters. In the kingdom, order matters. Ask Korah. Korah went to Moses and said, I tell you what, big dog, I'm a Levite. I'm from the tribe of Levi. Hey, big dog, you trying to do a family thing. You got you got your brother Aaron, you got all his offspring. You trying to build your own little thing here. I got just as much of the Holy Ghost as you got. Who died and made you boss? And Yeshua said, I did. And so what he ended up doing, he said, I'll tell you what you do. Y'all show up here with your fire pans and all your fancy coals and all your fire. You show up here tomorrow and we'll figure out who did he choose. And according to him, it won't show up. Dathan and Abiram for sure. But you see, there's always somebody, when Father is doing something, there's always somebody who's going to be a tear. This part in the field, and this is one of the things, those who sow discord, and that's what Korah was trying to do. And he did a good job, and he sowed a pretty, and you go through, and you'll see that just when the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, before they, even when they went into the promised land, how many people sowed discord in the community that he had? What about the 12 spies? 10 of them come back, what? What were they really doing? Giving a bad report? Same thing. Sowing discord. They were sowing discord. They was discouraging what Yahweh was saying. Yahweh was saying, you know what? We're going to go in here. I've given this land. This is great. Y'all know the story. But then all of a sudden, you got 10 people coming, and they discouraged the people. A sower of discord, I'm telling you, he don't put up with. You got to go. He puts rank in here. He puts it to where it has to operate. Paul even talks about that in Corinthians. There's a way to operate. Verse 15, therefore calamity will come upon him suddenly, and in a moment he will be broken beyond healing. We have a saying here, what is meant for them will come upon you. If you're arms linked with people that are sowers of discord, if you're linked up with them, whenever something comes on them suddenly, it's going to be on you too. Because guess what? What did Moses tell all the people in Korah? They said, do what? Separate yourself. And I mean separate yourself. Because when that earth opened up, it gathered everybody that was close enough to Korah. So you know what he's trying to tell you? With a sower of discord or with certain people like that, you need to create a gap. If you don't create a gap, the thing that comes on them can affect you. I've seen that happen in so many families, and it just tear people apart because they won't make that decision to separate. And you know what? The separation may wake up somebody to where they realize, hey, you know, maybe I'm wrong. But whenever, if you're doing wrong things and everybody's around you, oh, poor little sweet pea and all that stuff, I mean, just saying, can be broken beyond healing. I didn't say that. Yahweh said that. There's six things that Yahweh hates, seven that is an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises evil plans or wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. If you want to know how to recognize a tare, there's your list right there. If somebody is operating like this, this is how you are to know. Yeshua said this, we don't condemn the world. Why? Because they're already what? Condemned. They're already condemned. You don't condemn somebody who's already condemned. We're not in the condemning business. But he's in the convicting business. And we are to be able to minister with love to somebody this word. I will not ever convict anybody. I don't care what I say or what I do. This word convicts. When we use this word and we share with this word convicts that we're a sinner and we need a Savior. This word has the power to change my opinion, just the way I'm going to say this. This word has the power to change a weed into a wheat. It can transform when you take an individual, because we learned that in this parable, the weed and the wheat were people. And if a weed is going to be an evil person who's a demonic person, then that's what they do. But I have seen demonic people give their life to Yeshua and repent of their ways because what? They didn't know. They were only doing what they were taught. They were taught wrong, so they knew wrong. But here's the thing. We cannot. You can minister. You can teach the word. But we are not to be equally yoked with a weed. If you're equally yoked with a weed, when the angels come to gather, you better hope. You know what I'm saying? It's just, we're here to minister this word to a lost and dying world in that field that we were talking about. But yet, guys, and I don't know how to say this, and I'm going to close in saying this. A lot of our children that's been in this congregation that's not known anything else but Hebrew roots, I wished I was one of them. But I wasn't one of them. And I've been through different denominations, and I've been and really and truly, I've been through religion, is what I'm saying. I've been through religion, and I know what it is. And the thing is I know when a creed that hangs on a wall trumps this word. And most of you that's older than probably 15, because Colin's 15, I know Victoria and all that, we probably got some 20 years old that's been in this message all their life. They haven't been in another denomination. But I just know that when there's creeds, can I just say this? Man, I'm going to get in trouble. Why are they so many different denominations and there's one book? Think about it. Why are there so many different denominations in one book? Because we're all proud of what we believe, and I don't have that answer. I really don't. I mean, it's amazing to me. But all I'm saying is that we're all reading this one book. This book better trump any creed that's written. Anything that you got of we believes, it better line up with this book. If you're going to throw a we believe in there that doesn't line up with this book, you're opening yourself up for trouble. This word will convict. My stories and all of that may touch your heart, and you may get a half a tear or something, but this word will prick your heart. It will save your soul. And that's what this is about. This is the difference between wheat and a weed, which is religion, which is creeds, and this is what it comes out of here. It can come out of here. Ideas can come out of here and say, you can do this, 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 and this. Homosexuality is a sin. Homosexuality is an abomination. Abortion is a sin. Definitely after they're born. I'm just saying, is this crazy? Am I crazy? I mean, used to sit there and say, well, you can do, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody. If anybody's ever had an abortion, Yahweh can forgive you for that, and he can set you new, and he's awesome in rebuilding our mistakes. He sang a song up here called Scars. Most of us in this building have scars. We've asked, you know what? What are the scars for now? It's to show us where we come from. and not go. It tells us who he is. It tells us that we can be redeemed because guess what? A scar is something that's been healed. It's not an open wound. Hallelujah. We don't have open wounds, but we can have a scar. There's nothing wrong with a scar because it shows us that he can heal that, but that is there to remind the next generation. When a generation can come up here, when I can have these young ones come up here and say, why is that scar in your life? Let me tell you the story. Then you can give that testimony to somebody, and then you can keep one of these young ones for having that same scar. Amen? That's what this is all about. But I am so thankful that we have a Elohim that forgives, forgets, and do not let the devil, do not let his enemy, do not let weeds tell you that you're not any good. Amen? Because you know what? We are a redeemed people. And we are a people that's in a relationship with a mighty, awesome Elohim. And don't let anybody try to strip you of that relationship. Especially getting alone and letting things in your mind tell you that you're not good enough. Because guess what, guys? You're not good enough. But he says you are. Because he took, and that's what this season's about. I'm telling you again, he took my sin and he gave me his righteousness. And that's why on the cross, he had a big S, and it wasn't Superman. It was sin. And as he was going through that torture, he had a big R on his chest for righteous. Because he was the righteous one. All of us is running around with S's on our chest. But when he went up there on Calvary, and when he said, it is finished, he took that R off of his chest, and he pasted it on ours. And he took that S, and he put it on his. Because it said all sin and everything was laid upon him. And that it, we are redeemed. And we are the righteousness of Messiah. But yet, all I'm saying is you know that part, but we have a job to do. Be careful not to let weeds in your field, because they can come from wind, they can come from birds, they can come from elements, they can come from TV, they can come from what we read, all of the above. That's why it's so important that we have to guard and keep the garden that he's given us. Amen. The glory.